Well, are you excited this morning? Hallelujah. You know, there is nothing more awesome than God's creation. The things that God has created, the things that He is doing in the world, and the things that He is doing through His people. You and I are a part of something so much greater than the things that we see. We are connected by the Spirit of the Lord to the very one who created heaven and earth. Everything that we know of in this world came through God. And we ought to be excited about what God is doing. We ought to be pursuing the Lord with all our hearts, all our minds, all our souls. And we ought to have the life of God flowing and stirring within us. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but there is an anointing on the Spirit of the Lord when He works through His people. And when you arise in the power of the Spirit of God, life is imparted in every way. You and I ought to be flowing in the light of God as we move in the Spirit of God. You know, we know that a light travels at 186,000 miles per second. And if light is moving that fast and things are going that fast, how much more alive ought you and I to be if we are the lights of the world? God has called us to be a people of light, to be a people who are able to illuminate the darkness, not be consumed by the darkness, not be oppressed by the darkness, but to transcend the darkness. And this is a challenge that I find in the Christian church. Many Christians lack the power of God to transcend the darkness. And we get consumed by the darkness. It oppresses us, it brings us down, and it holds us down. But it ought not be so. And God has given us a solution. And we have the power and the authority to overcome. And that is what is so exciting about serving the Lord. So we are talking this month about the fact that He is real. If God wasn't real, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be wasting my time. And I would find other things to do. In fact, I already have other things I could be doing. And so there are all types of things that can distract us as the people of God from our pursuit of God. And when we come to the reality of the fact that He is real, it causes us to persevere in Him all the more. And so God is real and He's not shaken. And you and I, if we have been born of God, born of the Spirit of God, we are citizens of the holy city. And as citizens of the holy city, we can see just a glimmer of what it's like in heaven when we look at Revelation, especially as we skim through certain chapters. We get an idea of what the presence of God, the throne room of God, is like in chapter 4. And as we go throughout the entire book of Revelation, we see even in the end about the city of gold, the streets of gold, and the gates of pearl. And we get this description of the holy city. The Spirit of God is at work even in the midst of every place God is. And God is everywhere. The Spirit of God is everywhere. And we live in a world where people are in pursuit of their own dreams. They're in pursuit of the things that they desire to do. But God has given us a new pursuit, a new pursuit. Our lead verse for today is Isaiah 55:6, which says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We need to seek the Lord. In our introductory clip, we see this man who was in pursuit of these northern lights, these lights that are at the polar ends of the earth. And we see his passion and his desire, and he is not the only one. There are many who are in pursuit of these lights. You and I ought to be in pursuit of the light of Christ. We ought to be in pursuit of the light of God. we ought to be seeking him while he may be found. This gives us the idea that there may be a time when God cannot be found, when it may be too late. And so we call upon him when he is near. That signifies that there may be a time when God may be far away from us, and we need to cultivate our relationship with God. And so I would like to use as a theme today, the chasers. The chasers. Well, are you ready for the word of God today? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we are so thankful for your word. We are thankful that you have given us life, and you have given us life abundantly, everlasting life, life-giving life. Lord, and we are thankful, God, that you overflow in the power of your presence into all those who abide in you. And as we draw near, you draw near. As we are in pursuit of you, God, you enable us to navigate the challenges and the difficulties of life. But God, you are so awesome. You are so amazing that you enable us to overcome because you are paving the way. As we follow you, you enable us to become fishers of men. You enable us to overcome and transcend the darkness. You enable us to see the light of all that you have done. You are enabling us to be able to hear and see and know that you are real. Oh God, we thank you for your word today. And we ask God that you would impart life to us today, that we would come alive in you, and that we would be able to see the manifestations of God in our daily routine. Lord God, disperse us into this week where the Spirit of God has gone before us, that we may operate in your power, in your wisdom, in your strength, to overcome obstacles and bring down strongholds and to breathe life into those who come in contact with us. Lord, we thank you, O God, for helping us, O God, in using us and making us to be the disciples you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there are things or people in this world that we would call those who are chasing. There are those who are chasing their dreams. They are chasing after the pursuits of this life. They want peace and happiness. They want all of the things that the world can offer them. And people are in pursuit of these things. We're seeking all of the various benefits of this life and this world. But most of the time, in fact, they never really come to a place where they are satisfying. We are pursuing all of these things. We want the best that the world can offer. And then when we obtain the very thing that we've been chasing after, we find it to be empty. It does not meet the needs that is stirring within us. It does not fill the void that is within us. There's something still missing. With all of the successes, with all of the things that we're able to achieve, we still feel the void. And that is because only Christ can fill that void. Only Jesus can fill that void. And we are to be in pursuit of God. We are chasing the Lord. No other chase is worth the pursuit. No other thing that you would seek after will bring the level of joy and peace and satisfaction to your life that you think you want. Hallelujah. You will never find those empty voids in your heart, in your soul, filled without the Spirit of God. Sooner or later, you will find yourself going around and around in circles. Over time, you start to dwindle down and you start to find yourself becoming weaker and weaker and sicker and tireder and more tired or a word, I don't think so. But anyway, you find yourself going down. This ought not be so. the more you're walking with Christ, the more you're operating in God, the more you ought to be on fire for God, the more you ought to illuminate in God, the more you ought to testify, you ought to share, you ought to have stories, story after story after story, proving the reality of God. God is our testimony. He is our witness. There are storm chasers, and there are those who are seeking the thrill of the tornadoes. Have you seen these guys? And they have specially rigged cars so that they're able to be sensitive to the various conditions of the weather and the weather patterns. And when everyone else is hunkering down and bunkering down in their homes and hiding in their basements, they jump in their specially equipped vehicles and they go driving into the storm. This reminds me of George Mueller during the Black Plague, and when others were hiding in their homes and they were running, in fact, they were fleeing cities where all of these plagues had taken place. And he and his team of prayer warriors and men and women of God, they went into the cities as people were running out, and they were praying, and they were laying hands on the sick, and they were calling out sickness and driving out the plague. Why? Because the Spirit of God was giving them chase, and they were in pursuit of God. When you're in pursuit of God, it changes your perspective on everything. All of a sudden, the news media is not your perspective. It's not WhatsApp and all of these other programs and apps and things that we find on Facebook and Instagram. That is not our news source. Our news source is from God himself. The Word of God begins to come alive. The Word of God begins to ignite within you. And all of a sudden, you have power. You have a passion. You have the ability to persevere in God. Life is coming forth from you. Life is moving within you. These lights that people are in pursuit of, they're found all over the world. And we are able to see these lights only at certain times. And the reason people pursue them is because they're so unique. They're not the thing that you see all the time. And what begins to happen is people get caught up in the awe of the lights. And this is what will happen when you are reflecting the light of Christ. When you are reflecting the light of God, people will be in awe. And they will wonder, what is it about you that causes you to stand out, that makes you so unique? Why? Because you are reflecting the light of God. There is a presence that comes forth from those who are abiding in Christ. There is a move of the Spirit of God that is stirring within you. You see, there's two ways you can go through your daily routine. Two ways you can go through life. You can go through life just trying to deal with things as they come. You can just deal with what you have to do. I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I have to go here, and I have to go there. I have to accomplish this, and I have to accomplish that. And you can go through life playing whack-a-mole with your checklist of ideas and things that you need to accomplish. That is being in pursuit of the things of this world. Or you can be in pursuit of God. You can abide in his word. You can spend time in his presence. You can make it a special time in your day, each and every day, several times a day, every opportunity that you have, whether it's when you first wake up, when you have a lunch break, or when you have an afternoon break or an evening meal. You have time to spend in the presence of God. God wants to do a miraculous work in your life. God wants to transform your life. God wants to renew you and revive you. He wants you to be lifted up. He wants you to experience the power of the presence of the throne room of God. He's given us clues in the world that would give us a desire to chase after God. You can chase after the things of this world, or you can chase after God. You and I have been called to chase after God. in Romans 1:20, it says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." Saints of God, when you look at the northern lights, when you look at all the things that God has created, it points to the fact that he is real. It shows us the reality of God. It tells us of how much God has created this world, and it is his hand that has made it beautiful. This is merely a glimpse of what you and I will experience when we are in the kingdom of heaven, when we are operating in God. God enables his people to see his beauty in everything. We're able to discover things that other people can't see. We're able to experience the things that God has brought to life, things that others don't even realize exist. God is letting us know, even through creation, he is real. Verse 21 says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened." The world is in pursuit of this creation of God's without giving God the glory and the credit that he deserves. The world is able to recognize and see the magnificence of what God has created. They're able to look at the fine details and even see the majesticness of what God has done and who he is, but yet they refuse to acknowledge God. Their whole pursuit is from a position of denying God. The whole idea, the whole goal is to say that God doesn't exist and to be able to explain away what God says he spoke into existence. And because the world is in this place of darkness, because their hearts are foolish, they are also in darkness. They are darkened by their futile speculations. And so you and I are called to bring the light of Christ into the world. You and I are called to be his witnesses. We are the ones who ought to be operating in the fullness of his joy. We ought to have love even when there's no love around us. We ought to be able to have peace and patience whenever there is no peace and patience to be found. Even when it's far away, we have Christ and he's alive within us, stirring and glorifying and magnifying himself, so that he can be the light through us to the world. God wants to use you. He wants to enable you to come to life and impart life to others. In verse 22, it says, "Professing to be wise, they became fools." This is surely the world we live in right now. All those who are speaking and saying all kinds of things. We're living in a day and age where people tell lies to the extent where it sounds true and people believe it. We're living in a day and age where people don't know truth at all. In fact, they deny there is such a truth, and that truth is relevant to whoever it is that's speaking it, and there is no ultimate and settled of truth. But I tell you, God is true. His word is true. And in him, there is no darkness. He is the light, and you and I must operate in the light of God. We must not allow anything to oppress us and bring us down. We must be stirring and being exalted in the Lord. So often, Christians find themselves in these negative places, and largely it's because they have not spent time with God. And we have to learn how to apply biblical principles in our life so that we can experience the breath of God, the ruah of God, the pneuma of God, so that God can cause life to come alive in the midst of our life, so that we would be continuously lit with the light of the Spirit of God. This is what God does. It's automatic. It's not something you can make happen. It's not something that you do just because you want to do it. It's something that comes out of you as you spend time with God. Once we begin to see things from God's perspective, once we begin to understand what the Word of God is saying and apply it in our life, He enables us to experience a refreshing move of His Spirit. All of a sudden, the attributes of God come alive in us, and we are able to be transformed. In verse 23, it says, they've exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. And therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. And so we see that there is a physical tie-in to the human body when we renounce the ways of God. When we renounce God, something physical happens in your body. It's no wonder that there's so much sickness in the world. It's no wonder that there's so many diseases and all types of challenges and evil things that take place, experiences in the world. We live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a world that is operating in darkness. It is fallen. It is under the authority of Satan himself, the prince and the power of the air. Men are born in sin. You and I, born in sin. But through Christ, we come alive. Through Christ, we are illuminated. We are lifted up. Through Christ, we have the breath of life reignited within us. God enables us to come alive, and we are able to live. We transcend the darkness. We move through this world of darkness with the light of God. We move with the light. The northern lights, they're moving. They're moving, and they're swirling, and you saw the images as they moved. And the awesomeness about this is that they don't stand still, and they're not in one place for any given amount of time, and that is why they need to be chased. They chase them because they don't know when they're going to show up or where they're going to be. They have a general idea. They've been learned how to predict a general timeline of when they're going to show up, but they don't know exactly how it's going to work and what's going to happen. So is everyone born of the Spirit of God. When you're born of the Spirit of God, you're able to navigate. You're going through. Things are going to be happening. Things are going to be taking place. But it will not matter because you are in pursuit of God. You will be following Him. You will be navigating through the various challenges and difficulties that the world will experience. But you and I, we will have joy. We will have peace. We will have patience. We will have kindness. We will abide in the presence of God. We will experience His glory. We will have life imparted to us. We will have the anointing of the Spirit of God stirring within our hearts. We will be leaping and praising God. We will be giving thanks because He is real and He is alive. We know the power and the presence of God. We know that He is able to abundantly do more than we could ever ask or imagine. We know that all things are in His hands, and we can trust Him. We can look to Him, and we can see the faithfulness of God. Every time we see the beauty of this creation, we are able to say, look at God. That is God. Look what the Lord has done. We're able to give glory to God. When we look at each other, we can say, praise God for you. Praise God for you. Look what God has done. When we see the accomplishments in our life, when we see the things that take place that are good, the Word of God says every good and perfect gift comes from above. God is a gift giver. God is a life giver. And God is one who blesses those who are in pursuit of Him. And when we walk with God, things begin to happen. Something begins to stir. We begin to be changed. We're transformed, and we become more and more like Jesus. The attributes of God arise in us and enable us to overcome so that we would actually be opposite to the world. We will not be like the world. We will be something unique that people will see, and that is our light shining, the light of God shining through us. people will say, how can you have joy during times of sorrow? How can you have peace with all of the chaos and confusion? How is it that you're able to gather together in the name of the Lord and praise him and glorify him and magnify him? I tell you, in his presence, there is fullness of joy, the word of God says. Oh, saints of God, you and I have every reason to be grateful today, to be thankful today, to be excited today. We ought to have life in us, and we ought to have the word of truth and of power to speak forth so that those who come into contact with us will encounter God himself. Why? Because we are abiding in him and he in us, and we are one with the Lord. This is what God is calling us to do. We are looking at God so that we can follow him, so that we can allow him to navigate through the very challenges and difficulties that this world and this life will bring, that we would be able to pursue the Creator, not the creation. The world is pursuing the creation. It's creating, it's chasing after the things of this world. But we are chasing the maker of this world. We are chasing the one who is able to make something out of nothing. The one who's able to speak and cause things to come to be that were not before. God is the giver of life. He is the one who enables us to be blessed. I am going to be blessed forever. You will be blessed forever. It's not a short-term blessing. It's not just a just for now blessing. It's an eternal blessing. It's a blessing that continues to continue 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 until it's lost in God. And then another blessing comes, and it continues, and it continues. God is able to raise up his people. God is able. All we need to do is persevere in God. We have to turn our eyes from the things of darkness and focus on the things of the light of God. We need to be in pursuit of God. Romans 2:12-2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. This is what you and I ought to be doing on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Every day, you and I ought to be avoiding the mindset of this world. We need to be abiding in God. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind and enable the Spirit of God to breathe life into us. We ought to have a fresh anointing stirring. We ought to be alive in God. We ought to be able to experience the move of the Spirit of the Lord, especially as we are his witnesses, as we go into the world, as we go into the darkness. We have a smile on our face. Hallelujah. Oh, we have something stirring within us. You know, with the joy of the Lord, you know, that's within. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is within. It's not something that says, oh, I stubbed my toe. Oh, no, you stub your toe and you go, holla, holla, hallelujah, holla, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I magnify the Lord. Other people, they get hurt. When you're in the world, they get hurt. They smash their fingers on a hammer. They cuss and they swear and they say all kinds of things that you're like, goodness. I've heard Christians actually do this. And I tell you, when you're full of a curse, that's what's going to come out of you. But when you're filled with the blessing of God, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, when you're filled with the Word of God and the anointing of God, you're going to bless God no matter what happens. You may be in pain. You might be suffering in your body in one way or another, but somehow praise comes out. Praise comes out. God glorifies himself in the midst of our life. This is what God does. He turns your weeping into dancing. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, he does. He has a way to cause old things to pass away and everything becomes new. So don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Because the mind is the devil's playground. Satan is doing battle in your own mind. the thoughts that you are thinking that are not true, that seem to be true, that seem like they are right, but they are not. This is why the Word of God says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it is the way of destruction or death. And this is what happens to many Christians, is that they start thinking things that are not of God and that aren't right, and they try to impart that to someone else. But really, it's destroying them until ultimately they are dispersed. And this is why you have to be renewed in your mind. This is why it takes the Spirit of God, anointing the Word of God, to bring the power of God in your life. And when we understand that principle, when we understand we're not just reading the Bible to read the Bible, we're not just studying just to be studying so that we can have information and we can have knowledge, but we are studying because we are in pursuit of God. We want to know Him as He is. Our desire is to get to know Him. Our desire is to be conformed into His image, to be just like Him. This is what the Word of God has been designed to work out in our life. In Matthew 5, 6, Jesus puts it this way. He says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Saints of God, this is the only way to be satisfied. This is the only way to have the satisfaction that is needed in order to make it through this world. Satisfaction comes from hunger and thirst for righteousness. You and I have to be seeking to become more like Jesus. It ought to be something you think about every day. You ought to get up in the morning and say, "Lord, how can I be more like you today? Make me more like you today. God, mold me, shape me. Lord, show me how to navigate through. Help me to keep my eyes stayed on you so that I may have perfect peace. Help me to follow you so that I can be a fisher of men." Saints of God, when we are in pursuit of God, everything begins to shift. Everything begins to change. There is something satisfying about that. There's something renewing that takes place, a renewal that takes place within you when you're applying the Word of God. Have you ever won someone to Christ? Have you ever shared your testimony or your story with someone? Have you ever enabled someone to have a taste and see experience through your story? Oh, saints of God, there's something about when you share your story. It causes people to come alive. It causes people to think. There's this pull that begins to happen, and something stirs within you. There is an anointing that begins to stir. Oh, there's a reason that the people of God go out and march in the dead of winter through the streets of Middletown and through the highways and byways, and why they feel compelled to go out and to pray and to do the work of the Lord and to be able to help and be a blessing is because something within them is stirring. And when something is stirring within you, you can't sit still. You can't sit still. There's something stirring within you that says, "I must go to the house of the Lord." Oh, isn't that right? All during the pandemic, most of us were here. A lot of us were here. And it was not because we just wanted to be here. It was because something inside was stirring. There was something that was moving and stirring within us. Something was pulling us, and it was saying, "Come to the house of the Lord. Gather together in the name of the Lord. Come worship the Lord. Come lift up His name. Come exalt the Lord." Something was compelling us into the house of God, and it was the spirit of renewal, the spirit of revival, the spirit of God coming alive. This is what God does. And you and I, we have been blessed. Hallelujah. Oh, we have been blessed. And despite all that is happening around us, the blessing of God is still flowing. Oh, hallelujah. How do you know that you have been blessed? Because you have joy. Oh, because you have peace that surpasses all understanding. So much so that the world says, "Wow, aren't you worried? Aren't you concerned?" And you say, "No, the Lord my God is my shield. He is my strong tower. The righteous run into Him and we are safe." Hallelujah. I'm abiding in Christ. I'm abiding in Him. I can go into all the world to bring the gospel. I can go into the leper colonies just like Jesus did. I can go into the home of the sick man who was let down through the roof in order to receive a healing. I went into the place of the dead where the Jairus' daughter was, and the word of God was able to be spoken and prayed over. In fact, Jesus put people out who didn't believe, who didn't have a place of the right mindset, and he was able to do miraculous works. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's better to have a few than to have many. Hallelujah. Because it's the few that have the faith that is required for God to accomplish the greater things. Hallelujah. And that is what the life of God brings into our life. And this is what we are in pursuit of when we say we're in pursuit of God. We are seeking the Lord. Something begins to happen. We're not just going through the life and say, oh, I'm a Christian. No. We're going through life because we are abiding in God. We're meditating on the word of God. And the word of God says to meditate on me, on him day and night, so that I will be able to experience the power and the presence of God. And so we abide in him and we allow him to enable us to overcome. Psalm 63, verse 1-8 says, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Oh, my Lord, my God. Hallelujah. Is that the way you feel about God? Do you feel this same way? This is the psalmist. He's crying out. He's saying, oh, God, you're my God. I shall seek you earnestly. This is the difference between disciples in the Bible and disciples today. The difference is disciples in the Bible give up everything and they follow God. They pursue the Lord. We try to hold on to everything and do God with what's left. Hallelujah. Then we want to serve God what's left. God, we're working God around our schedule, around the things that we want to accomplish, around the things that we want to do. But that's not a biblical disciple. A biblical disciple does the will and the works of God first, and then he does everything else around God. And you and I have to learn how to make that shift. We need to learn how to seek the Lord first and seek him as a first priority. Put him first in our life so that God is able. Hallelujah. I've heard so many people, they say, well, God is the head of my life. But when they're at work, their witness is poor. And when they have opportunity to share and to manage things in a way where people would say, wow, you're able to have patience when you're under all that pressure, and they don't have all the pressure, they fall apart. And so the world says, where's your Jesus? Oh, I thought you were a Christian. You gave up. Oh, you quit. Oh, you didn't stand the test. You weren't able to persevere. Why? What happened? Well, where's God? Where's God? Well, God is where he's always been. The problem is that we as the people of God are not in pursuit of God. Hallelujah. We must learn how to pursue God. We must learn how to seek him, how to enable him to be the very cornerstone of our life. He is the very essence that draws us and pulls us through each and every day. This is a dry and weary land. The world is designed to dry you and I up. The world wants you to be robbed of your joy, robbed of your patience, robbed of your zeal for God, robbed of your anointing, robbed of the strength that you need to overcome the obstacles. But I tell you, you should say no to Satan, and you should stand firm and trust in the word of God. Apply the word in your life. Allow the word to come alive. Don't allow the word to just be the word in a book, but let it be alive in you. Let the word be something that you are actually applying, that you are actually studying in order to put into practice so that you can gain the results. I tell you, it does not matter what type of program is on your TV. If you never turn it on, you will never see any of it. Hallelujah. And the word of God is the programming that you must turn on in your life. You must turn on the word of God in your life, in your heart, in your mind. You must be renewed. You must be refreshed. You must ask God for his wisdom, his guidance, his strength, and his power. And then you must become a doer of the word. This is what God is calling us to do. This is why the psalmist goes on and he says, thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. Is God's kindness better than life? Hallelujah. Then your lips ought to praise him. Hallelujah. Your lips ought to praise him. I tell you, when you realize that God's loving kindness is better than life, you can't keep quiet. You cannot keep silent. You will praise the Lord. You will worship him. You will magnify him. You will glorify him. And there will be nothing that can hold you in that place of silence. He says, so I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Do you know how to lift up holy hands unto God? Oh, I tell you, there's something about lifting up holy hands unto God. Oh, saints of God, this ought to be an everyday practice for you. You ought to every day praise God from your lips and lifting up holy hands to God. You ought to be able to praise him and bless him so that the blessing of God will be with you as long as you live. Hallelujah. As long as I live, I will praise him. As long as I live, I will praise him. No one, nothing can rob me of my praise unto God. Lord God, we praise you. We lift you up. We exalt you, Lord. Oh God, we cry out to you, Lord, with thanksgiving and gratitude. Oh, saints of God, don't let anyone rob you of your praise. When you lift your hands up, the burdens and the weights go down. Oh, you are liberated. You are set free. That's why we come into the house of the Lord and we praise God under the anointing. That's the anointing of the Spirit of God. If everybody in here was lifting up holy hands and praising God and shouting unto God from their lips, this place would be a totally different place. There would be healing in the midst. There would be deliverance in the midst. There would be a move of God in the midst. And the Spirit of God would fall upon his people. And we would be covered. We would be shielded from every form of darkness, every form of sickness and disease. God would dispel it through the praise of his people. This is what God is causing us to do. Anyone who came into contact with Jesus, who had an ailment or a sickness or some other form, they were delivered. Hallelujah. They were delivered. There's no such thing as coming in contact with Jesus and staying in bondage, staying sick, staying oppressed, staying down. Everyone who comes in contact with Jesus was healed. Hallelujah. Is it in the Gospels? Is it there? This is what Jesus does. And this is why we must walk with God. This is why we must apply these principles unto the Lord, these principles of God's word. Verse 5 says, my soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, don't you let Satan rob you of your joyful lips of praise. Don't you allow him to rob you of giving thanks and glory to God. Do you start to feel down? Do you feel oppressed? Do you feel the weight of the world sometimes on your shoulders? Well, I tell you, all you have to do is begin to bless the name of the Lord. You begin to bless God. You begin to lift up your hands unto God. You begin to magnify the Lord. Step outside and look at the creation and say, look at what God has made. Look what the Lord has done. Look what he is accomplishing. Oh, the weather is getting nicer. And I know that as the summer comes, the lights, the northern lights, become more and more difficult to see. And they're actually more prominent in the winter than they are in the summer. Isn't that amazing? That in the times of cold and the times where everybody is inside and feeling locked down, then the light of God comes out and says, come alive, my people. Look at the creation of God. look at what the Lord has done. During the summer, you can see the trees and you hear the birds. Every time you hear the birds sing, you know, they're singing the psalms of the Lord. They're singing the songs of God. They're praising God. The word of God says even the trees are praising God. Oh, as the wind blows, oh, the trees have their branches lifted up. You ever notice how branches on trees and plants, everything points to the sun? You ever notice that? I tell you, this is weed season, right? And everybody's cleaning up their yards and we're trying to get the weeds out and clean up. And I tell you, every time I look at something, I trim it back, and then a few weeks or months later, it's doing this. It's doing it. I'm like, man, I cut that back so it was like this before. Now all of a sudden it's like this. Why? Because nothing can stop creation from praising God. Nothing can stop creation from pointing to the sun, from pointing to the Lord. Saints of God, you and I can't allow anything to rob us of our praise and our worship unto God. Your lips ought to praise him. You ought to shout unto God with the voice of triumph. You ought to glorify the name of the Lord. You ought to lift up holy hands unto God, and you ought to praise him. This is why we serve the Lord, because God is delivering us from evil. God is delivering us from evil. People who don't praise are not going to be delivered. People who don't praise don't get delivered. You must learn how to praise God. You must learn how to exalt the name of the Lord. My life was totally changed when I learned how to lift up my hands. Hallelujah. You know that was one of the hardest things to ever do? Hallelujah. You guys remember the first time you decided, you know what, I'm gonna raise my hands to God. Boy, it felt like you had two boat anchors on your tied to your wrists. You felt like you were holding cinder blocks. All of a sudden, your arms felt like they were so heavy. It was like, and that's why you see people do this. You ever see people do this? Or they get the one finger. You ever see the one finger people? They got the one finger. The one finger people. That's because their hands are so heavy. That's all they can get. They can only get that. But boy, I tell you, if you can keep persevering, sooner or later, you're going to be this. And next thing you know, you're going to be doing this. Hallelujah. Then you're going to be doing this. Woo! Glory to God. This is what happens. This is what happens. You all of a sudden, you get free. So I say, oh, you're too old to be doing that. I'm not old enough. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord breathes life into his people. God brings life into us. And this is why we're chasing God. This is why we're in pursuit of God. This is why we come week after week. We come during the week. We come after the week. We come in between the week. It doesn't matter what time. We just want to be in the presence of God. Why? Because where two or three are gathered. And hallelujah. That's just not two or three people. That's two or three people who are in pursuit of God. Two or three people who are gathering for the purpose of bringing his word to life within them, for the purpose of allowing the word to come alive. This is what God is saying and what he is doing in our life. Verse 6 says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Hallelujah. See this? This is good practice, isn't it? When you're laying in your bed, you ought to remember. Can you remember the Lord when you're laying in bed? You don't just jump in the bed and say, I'm tired. No, you lay in the bed and you remember. You say, Lord, you have been faithful. Lord, you have been so good to me. Lord, you are awesome and amazing. And you think about what you did. Lord, I thank you for this person that I saw today. Oh God, I pray for them. Lord, I thank you for enabling me to overcome some challenges, some difficulties. I had some problems that I ran into, but God, you brought me through it. You delivered me. And maybe you're still wrestling with it. Maybe you're still going through it. And you say, God, lead me in the way that I should go. God, show me. Lord, speak to me. What are you doing? You're laying on your bed and you're meditating on the Lord in the night watches. Oh, and God is speaking to you. He is revealing things to you. This is the life of a Christian. This is the life of a man of God, a woman of God, someone who is looking for God to pour out his spirit into their lives, not just so that they can feel, woo, hallelujah, which you will, but it's so that you can have power to overcome obstacles, so that you will be able to navigate around the challenges that come your way, so that you will have the ability to have joy even when there is no joy to be had. You can operate in the principles and the Spirit of God. In verse 7, he says, "For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy." Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That means when things are getting really hot, things are getting heated up, you're in a time of trouble, hardship, difficulty, things are seeming like they're impossible, you have to come under the shadow. God has a wing. That doesn't mean he's a chicken. It just means that he's a covering for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He spreads out. We're under the shadow of God's wing. And what does that do? That buffers the heat. That shades the heat. So now you're able to go through it. You're able to manage the situation. You're able to deal with the circumstances. Why? Because you're pursuing God and you're applying these principles in your life, and God is bringing victory into your life. This is what enables you to sing for joy. Singing means victory. Hallelujah. Oh, when you come in from the battle and you won, you're like, yes, 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 hallelujah. We know that. We saw that in the Wizard of Oz, didn't we? Then they're going, oh, Rio, Rio, oh, Rio, Rio, right? And you see military marchers, they're like, hup, 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 hup. Everybody's staying in unity. Everybody's going together. You hear, hup, it feels good. Yup, hup, hup. And we're able to go. And God is able to give you victory. Why? Because you know how to sing for joy. You can sing unto the Lord. This is why the Word of God says, sing unto God a new song. It's a new song. Why? Because yesterday the Lord gave me victory. Oh, down at the bank. Hallelujah. God gave me victory yesterday. Hallelujah. When I was trying to deal with this ache in my back and my foot, God gave me victory. And you make up a new song. You just got to make up a song. You can make up a song. God will give you a song. Hallelujah. Nobody has to know your song. You just need to sing it. Hallelujah. And if you're singing enough, other people will start singing it too. And they're like, boy, I can't get that tune out of my head. That was the dumbest song I ever heard in my life. But goodness, it's stuck in my head. Now I'm singing your song. Hallelujah. This is what God will do. This is what God will do. And so he has been our help. He has been the place that we can come into. And we are in a place where we're able to sing for joy. Verse 8 says, my soul clings to you. Oh, my right hand upholds me. You see how God's hand holds us up? God holds us up. I remember that old poem about walking down the beach with the two footprints, right? Footprints in the sand. And he says, all of a sudden, when I needed God most, there was only one set of footprints. And the vanity of the writer is that he was assuming he walked alone. And then God says, excuse me, I carried you. And those were my footprints, not yours. I carried you. And this is how God works. We ought to learn how to give God glory, saints of God. We need to know how, when we go through challenges, when we go through difficulties, we know God is able. He will see us through. Oh, my soul clings to God. Does your soul cling to God? Oh, I pray that you cling to God, that his right hand will hold you up. God says, I got you. I got you. He says, I got you with one hand behind my back. Hallelujah. Oh, this is the left hand. I got you with the right hand. I got you like this. I got you. I got one hand behind my back. God wants to hold us up. He will hold you up when you are in pursuit of God. And the King James says, my soul follows hard. It follows hard. I love that. My soul follows hard. I mean, it's like pulling me. My heart is like, oh, the Lord. Oh, Lord God. Oh, the Lord. He is one who is abiding, and he's looking, and he is working. But man is looking at the outward appearance, but where is God looking? Oh, he's looking at the heart. God is dealing with our hearts. He says, thy right hand upholds me. Oh, the right hand of God ought to be upholding you and I. And you and I can experience that when we walk with God. When we allow the word of God to come alive within us. We have to be chasers. We have to be chasers of God. We're not chasing storms and rain and hurricanes and all that stuff. We're not just chasing lights that God has created. Those are the created things. We're chasing the very creator who created those things. And he is able to see us through and enable us to overcome. This is why we have a right relationship with God. In Psalm 42:1, he says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you. Oh, God. Oh, are you panting after God? I saw a deer yesterday came through my yard. They were like, and they were trying to get through. And they were looking, because they eat our hostas. And they were looking at them. And they were trying to figure out where they were going to go and how they were going to do it. But I tell you that when your soul is hungry and thirsty, you too will follow God. You might have to take one step at a time. You might be watching cautiously to make sure that you don't get eaten or you don't get gobbled up by some predator that may be nearby like the deer do. But you walk and you follow God. You say, Lord, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to examine all that you have created. I'm going to appreciate all that you have done. I'm going to reflect on how you have brought me through so many times before. God is able to enable us to overcome. Verse 2 says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Oh, saints of God, did you know he's living? He's not dead. He's living. We serve a living God. Oh, my soul is thirsting for the living God. That means the God who is alive in my reality, in my situation, in my circumstances. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm blessing the Lord. I'm praising him. I'm thirsting after him. Deuteronomy 4:29, as the Israelites were going through the wilderness, God says this. He says to them, warning them about when they get into the promised land to be careful. To be careful, because all around them, there are going to be these heathen nations, and their desire is going to be like them. And this is the very problem that we have as Christians in this world. We're living in a world where we're surrounded by people and mindsets and governments and ideologies and theologies that are contrary to the word of God. And we have to be careful. We have to be careful that we do not begin to think and see from the world's perspective, but from the perspective of God. He says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search for him with all your heart and all your soul. And we see that God did bring this passage to pass. The Israelites, they strayed from God. They got caught up in the wilderness with all kinds of stuff. They became like the heathen nations. They found themselves in captivity for 70 years because they rebelled against God. They missed God. But then they began to call out to God. And this is what happens, saints of God. This is where your hope and my hope lies. Oh, we may find ourselves in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing. We make our mistakes. We may fall short. But God says, if you seek him, if you call upon him, that he will answer. He says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And so there is always a way back home. There's always a way back to God. There's always a way to be reconciled. All you need to do is call upon the Lord. All you need to do is search for him with all your heart, with all your soul, everything within you. Do you know what it's like to search with all your heart and all your soul? Oh, to say, God, have mercy upon me. Oh, God, I need you. God, help me, Lord. This is what God is calling us to experience. In Psalm 16:8, it says, I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Set the Lord, saints of God. Set the Lord at your right hand. That's the place of authority. That's the place where God is able to lead you and guide you. It's the place where you're able to experience the faithfulness of God. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. And you and I need to be at the right hand of the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to be in that place where God is right there with you. He is a part of you. He is in the midst of you. You are experiencing God, and that will keep you from being shaken. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, there are troubling times in the world today. There are difficulties and hardships all around us in this world today. But guess what, saints of God? I will not be shaken. Hallelujah. Why? Because God, he is not shaken. God is not shaken. We're not shaken. Why? Because we're at the right hand of God. And if God is an anchor and a pillar, then you and I can hold on to God. We can cling to him. We can go hard after God. This is what God has called us to do so that we would be able to navigate through this world. Verse 9 says, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. Hallelujah. This is the comfortingness of the presence and the word of God at work within our lives. Verse 10 says, for you shall not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. And we know that God watches over his own. He watches over his people. And this is a messianic verse relating also to Jesus, how he was going to be raised from the grave. And it's a reminder to us that you and I will be raised up from the grave. We will be with him. We are going to be just like him. We will see him as he is, the word of God says. Verse 11 finally says, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is what? Fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are what? Pleasures forever. Hallelujah. God satisfies his people. God will be with us. God is enabling us to overcome so that we can be the witness and the testimony to the world that we need to be. I pray that you have fullness of joy today. I pray that you have everlasting joy, joy, unspeakable joy. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Oh, saints of God, do you know every time you look up to heaven, from whence cometh your help? Your help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Oh, saints of God, when you step outside, the first thing you ought to say is glory to God. Glory to God. When you feel the wind blow, that's the Spirit of the Lord. You say glory to God. At your lips, something ought to come out of your mouth. You ought to say it out loud. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why? Because when you speak out of your lips, it impacts the atmosphere. It causes oppression and darkness and the weight of evil to just move back from you. You say, bless the Lord. And all of a sudden, the devil has to back up. And all of a sudden, you feel the anointing of God. It just goes through you. It's like, and God says, ah. And he's just dispelling the darkness. And the more you praise God, the more you lift up holy hands, the freer you will become, and the more you will experience the glory of God in your life. And so Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God will give you a brand new start. He will refresh you. He will renew you. In fact, the word of God says his mercies are new every morning. And so did you mess up yesterday? Don't worry. Today, God says, forget yesterday. We'll start over today. He says, old things are passed away. Behold, everything is new. We're going to just forget. Yesterday didn't even happen. We're going to start fresh. Did you mess up today? Well, God says, don't worry, tomorrow you'll get another chance. You'll get another chance tomorrow. And he says, tomorrow will be good. And we're going to start every day fresh so that each day you can draw closer and closer and closer and closer to God. You can be more and more like him every day. You can pursue the Lord. This is why we seek the Lord while he may be found. This is why we are looking unto God. We're not just chasing storms. We're not just chasing lights around the world and all of these different places that exist. We see the beauty of God and we say hallelujah. We say glory to God. We magnify the name of the Lord. We lift him up and we exalt him so that no matter where the lights are, we're following right behind the light of God. We're following the light of Christ. When the storms come, we have peace. He becomes our shelter in the time of storm. As we go through all of these various challenges and difficulties that the world may bring, we know God is our covering. We see the lights overhead. We see his glory overhead. And God is able to magnify himself in our lives. And we too are able to know that he is able to do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. We are able to see and glorify God and magnify him with our whole heart, with all that we are, with all that he am. This is why we seek the Lord. We seek the Lord while he may be found. God is always moving, just like the northern lights are always moving, and they have to chase them. And they think they're going to be here, but they're several miles down the road. And so they travel several miles down the road going after the lights, and the lights move, and then they suddenly just disappear. Saints of God, we have to seek the Lord while he may be found. We go after him like the storm chasers go after storms, like those who are seeking the northern lights. We go after God with the same passion, with the same wisdom and desire, that we may experience the glory of God, because we are the chasers. We are the chasers of God. We're chasing God rather than what he has created. We are citizens of the holy city, prevailing beyond the times. And so I pray that you too are pursuing God as a chaser of the Spirit of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet.
I place into your loving hands. I am yours. I am yours.
So I shout out your name.
So I shout out your name. From the rooftops I proclaim, I am yours. I am yours.
All I am, Almighty God, hallelujah.
And all that I am, I place into your loving hands. I am yours. I am yours. Everlasting God,
hallelujah.
Here I am, I stand with arms wide open to the one, the Son, the everlasting God, the everlasting God.
Well, saints of God, God is able to see you through no matter what your situation is. God has the power, and he has it available for you and I. We must learn how to seek the Lord, how to pursue him with our whole heart. God has called us to seek him earnestly, especially during these challenging times. You and I must learn how to experience God, how to experience the Word of God. The Word of God is something that is real and it's alive. And I pray that you know it for yourself, that it's not just theology, it's not just religion, not just something that you've heard all your life or something that you just believe, but it's something that you experience every day. And we need to experience God. We need to reflect on God when we're laying down. We need to recognize his creation and all that he is doing in our lives. Some people, all they see is what's wrong. All they see are problems. But you and I, we see the glory of God at work. We see the magnificence of God in the midst. And this is because we spend time with God. The more time you spend with God, the more he shows you of himself and what he is doing. And the more you will see it and experience it, and your lips will praise him. Your hands will be lifted up. You will give him the glory. You will give him honor and all the praise, because he is real and he is alive and he's not shaken, and neither should you be. And I pray that the Spirit of God is working in the midst of your life as you are walking faithful to him. Well, Father, we thank you for your word today. And we ask, oh God, that you would magnify yourself, show yourself again and again and again. We ask, oh Lord, that you enable us to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Magnify yourself, glorify yourself, be lifted up in hopes of joy, that our hands would raise and give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise as we chase you for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah.
I am your